Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. To the hen house, something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." He kind of pointed that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble up and hit the hay coat. "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. Shaking the ground, kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay, ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens done.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Once again, good morning and welcome to The Backstory. This is a place where we hopefully can bring you information and provide transparency to the process of what's going on here in City of Modesto and Stanislaus County. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Morning. We also have a guest. Good morning, Warren. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Mayor. How are you? I'm
good.
Fine.
Good. And Warren is a, well, you're a retired police and now a private investigator. And we wanted to talk to you this morning a little bit about the Carson trial.
Okay. Well, I haven't been able to attend it because of everything I'm doing else, but I certainly know some stuff that's going on. I know that this Carson trial reminds me kind of with Marlissa there that it's kind of like when you've got a real good horse, you're running them good. Like in the, I forget the name of the horse now because I'm not a horse race fan, but I don't know if it was Secretariat or one of those top horses that had won like the Triple Crown, it goes like heck, then all of a sudden, bam, it breaks its leg. Well, once it breaks its leg and goes down, you know, you got to shoot it. And I feel that's the way Marlissa is in this trial. I think she's been running a strong race early with all of the trashy people that she had as guests, as witnesses, not guests, as witnesses, when she could get them out of prison to appear. And right now, things are really turning downward, and I think there's no question about the fact that she's in the death throes now, as if she's been that thoroughbred horse that broke her leg, and then now they got to put her down.
And now, yeah, I think that's going to happen. So your prediction is that I think they're saying that it might be end of April now before the trial is over, and maybe we should back up a little bit and talk a little bit about when this trial started, or the length of it, but the preliminary hearing was 18 months.
18 months, yes.
And the charges were conspiracy to commit murder. There were 9 defendants at one time.
Eight. Oh, 9 including Woody. if you count Woody, but we don't count Woody as those that are...
Woody's the guy that confessed to the murder of Corey Kaufman.
Yeah.
You know, it's made us the laughing stock of the state. This, in the legal profession, you wonder why people don't come to work here. They don't want to get involved in what's going on, and a lot of district attorneys have left, and I hope we're seeing the end of it. But as you said, Warren, after 18 months, they took a year off, and now the trial has been another year.
Well, it's been a year. January of last year is when it started, so this is already March, so that's 15 months in trial. And a lot of the problem is the fact that the jury doesn't get much time in the courtroom, especially lately. And because of, there's a lot of reasons. Among them, though, are the prosecution blames the defense attorneys, and, of course, the defense attorneys blame the prosecution. But Marlissa Ferreira, in her presentation, has run a lot of the witnesses into the ground. She's had her own witnesses on, and she's impeached some of her own witnesses. The fact that they didn't exactly testify the way she wanted them to, and so she turns on them.
That just happened last week, I think. They had a former California Highway Patrol. He was a defendant.
Right, Scott McFarland.
Yeah, Scott, and he's on the stand, and he, as you say, didn't testify the way Marlissa wanted to, so she declared him a hostile witness.
Right. Happened with her Turlock police officer witness, Ken Briggs. Everything was supposed to be going a certain way, and when he went in to testify, it didn't exactly turn out the way she wanted, and she turned right around on him. It's kind of, you know, like I got to watch a snake bite, you know, if you think you can walk by and all of a sudden it jumps out and bites you. Well, she bit, tried to bite him, but it didn't work out too well for her.
Well, it's amazing, you know, the opposition, I don't have time to define them all. I know that Supervisor DeMartini has defined who my opponents are, all my enemies and so forth, but they like to use the word vendetta, that what you do because of a vendetta. And I like to apply that word to the district attorney, Birgit Flatiger.
Absolutely.
She has all kinds of vendettas. The biggest vendetta she has is against Frank Carson, because he dared to run against her in 2014.
True, but prior to that and subsequently also, when he has his clients come in, he whips the district attorney like a redheaded stepchild. She can't win against him. And I told you in one of my, mentioned in one of my commentaries I wrote that Bridget Flatiger on the wall in her office has a motto, and it says, if you can't beat them, book them.
Okay.
And so, therefore, that's how you get rid of, somebody that...
Does she really have that, or you...
I don't know. I've never been in there, but, that's my little fantasy, you know. Yeah.
I do realize that one time they had a custom that if you won, you got a bear hanging from your door.
Bear,
do you remember that, bear?
Yeah. Well, there are not many bears around there.
Well, her record is poor, but her reason for her reelection is many. She's there to take on those people who take on people of power and means. So she's there to help her friends and protect her enemies, and that's historically and data-wise, that's what's happening.
Well, the other part of it is why you would think that she would be more into this, into the trial. Now, ever since the whole thing was filed and the eight people were arrested, she's never, ever, in this 3 years or better that it's been going on, ever shown her face in court. Ever. And so, consequently, what's she ashamed of? Is she afraid of it? Or, well, she should be proud. She should be in there doing press releases to the Modesto Flea, a B, and, you know, talking about how, what a great case it is and how good it's going.
All right. Was that just a Freudian slip, or
that
did you just do that on purpose?
I had something in my tooth.
So
and
you
I
said Modesto Flea, but that leads to a segue. Leads to what's an article.
So we're going to segue into this. That's good.
Yeah,
I'm a good segueer.
Okay, yeah, and it's March 21st. Editorial by the new editor, opinion editor of the Beak, Art Stapley. And he's got this new format, thumbs up, thumbs down, returns. And that is, who do we like or dislike this week? I guess, I don't want to start off on the wrong foot with Garth.
Oh, no, don't do that.
But, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down was used by other editors in the past, and he wants to bring this format back. What bothers me a little bit is who do we like and who do we dislike? And I guess that's perfectly valid for an opinion.
Yeah, if you're right.
And so he's got this, well, let's go quickly. Thumbs up. Local liver guards who recovered the body of a five-year-old at Knight's Ferry.
Right.
Certainly
tragic.
That would be a thumbs up.
Yes.
And the thumbs up goes to the... river guides who found her.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he's got another thumbs up to water agencies on various levels working together to help the search by lowering the flow of the river swollen by melted snow, filling reservoirs upstream. You know, that's, to me, when I saw that, I thought, that's such a logical thing to do. If you're looking for someone in the rivers to slow down the flow.
Right.
I remember a story, sort of a joke of a semi, a truck, that couldn't get under a bridge. And they didn't know what to do. It was going to scrape the top of the truck. And some guy came along and he says, why don't you just take some pressure out of the tires and that'll let the truck go through. Here, let's...
Right. Yeah.
Calm down this river and see if we can find her.
Sure. Now, you know, on that point right there, talking about the river and the water, what does he think about the Southern California water grab of our water? What's going to happen there with the state, and what are they going to do? What's he, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, we're gonna keep asking them that.
Okay.
Thumbs down and the Modesto Bee notoriously does not like long meetings. And they had one. The Board of Supervisors met until 1:08 a.m.
Wow.
That beats my record. I know we had a lot of meetings. When I was mayor, it was 12 o'clock before we got out of there.
Well, that's not too bad. There's still 52 minutes to get there before last call.
Good idea. How did you think of that one?
Hey, I think about a lot of things, let me
tell
you.
Okay. So the subject of the meeting Tuesday night was on cannabis. Obviously, this is going to be a completely, the disgruntled and the gruntled, if you want to know. It's going to be controversial. Okay. Anyhow, he's got a thumbs up from the meeting. Thumbs down, it was too long. Thumbs up, they allowed all these people to talk.
Okay.
They didn't cut them off.
No.
All right. And they did come to a conclusion that we can't make a decision, so we're not going to say no. We're going to table it and open it for further discussion.
Well, certainly.
Let's see. He goes thumb downs, and this is a simple one. He talks about the five unnamed former Modesto Police Department officers whose dishonesty cost them their jobs in the past 5 years. So, anyhow, the report is by Kevin Villain and Aaron Tracy, the reporters. They outlined what these guys did, but they didn't tell us who they were. I have a problem with that. Why do they have their names secret or redacted when the bee, well, they do pictures of auto thieves who haven't even been convicted.
Yeah.
So here you get a picture in the bee of you stole a car, you were arrested, but you haven't been convicted. So why would your picture and that be there? And yet some people, when they commit types of crimes, especially law enforcement personnel.
Well, you know, back when I was active in law enforcement at the Oakdale Police Department, I had a chief there who was the greatest chief I've ever met or had the privilege to work for. I was arresting more drunk drivers than the highway patrol in the county. There were times I'd have 25 drunk drivers a month. And in addition to my regular patrol duties and supervisor duties, and the bar owners were coming in and complaining to the chief of police, the bar owners of the H Bar B and the Caltrack down in the shopping center that I was running customers off. They weren't having people come in. They were staying out of town because of this guy who's arresting all these drunk drivers. They have mentioned the fact that my dispatcher would say that somebody would call and say, is Yates working tonight? And if I was working, apparently they avoided town. Now, the chief, although he knew my integrity, because of the complaint of the bar owners, he did have me surveilled. He had a sergeant on top of the bank building there at F in Yosemite with binoculars to watch the downtown area, and he had a person in an unmarked vehicle that had been trying to follow me. They thought I was staking out the bars. I'd sit somewhere and wait and watch some drunk come out, walk into his car, and then pull him over. Well, the final report came into the chief, and it said that this guy doesn't stake anybody out. We can't even keep up with him when he's driving around. He's always going here, going there, looking at everything, watching cars. He doesn't sit anywhere. He doesn't stop till he's pulling a vehicle over. So, obviously, I wasn't staking drivers out. I wasn't manufacturing, you know, reports.
Yeah.
And so when the owners came in as a three group there, and he told them, they said, well, if you don't get rid of Yates, you know, we're going to have a problem. He said, no. He says, I'll get rid of you guys because, he says, if he stops arresting these potential killers, I'll fire him then.
Yeah, that's
but he better
a valid
keep doing
reason.
What he's doing. Absolutely. So his name is Dave Sunday. What a wonderful guy. A great chief to work for. And I was at least honest in everything I was doing. It's abhorrent for me, having been in law enforcement, see these guys doing these kind of things.
Well, no, many years ago there was a feud between the sheriff and the police, and they were arresting each other. Yes, that's true. I remember they.
Yeah.
Well, they would try to arrest each other, but yeah, and the place that they would. Haunt is McHenry Village. There was a bar in McHenry Village, so if you were MPD, you didn't want to leave that bar drunk. You know, the other thing that Dave is that last one where Garth Stapley now says that we should look forward to some other stories.
Yeah, I mean, it talks about the last one on the list is a thumbs down on Sirius, which has refused to provide similar documents under Senate Bill 1421, a state law requiring an agency stop hiding records about officers who were deemed dishonest, who sexually assaulted someone, or who shot at or hurt another person.
You know what? I really am looking forward to this because he is saying that... the next group is going to be the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department. Well, you know, Garth, you might know, and we'll make sure that we assist in the transparency on that because there are stories, Garth, that you won't print. And we have documented print with tapes and videos of misconduct by county sheriffs. And it goes back, at least a decade. But you know what the argument will be about that? Oh, that happened 10 years ago. But if the Modesto Bee and Garth Stapley want to be recognized as having some power back, that because they do lack power, having them endorse a candidate doesn't necessarily mean that that candidate is going to get elected as in the past. But there are many, many examples, and the central figure in that is our former sheriff, Adam Christensen. And so we can assist in that. But I did want to mention Emerson Drake. Emerson Drake is a blogger. I've known Emerson for many, many years. And obviously, Emerson goes up to the line, but he doesn't cross it with the Bee because they have given him a commentary article on transparency. And most of this is of course, true. It's happening that Stanislaus County used to be, as he says, the gold standard in providing public documents, and the MID was second. The MID now, according to Emerson, in a great article, describes how, and Emerson, incidentally, is an expert on asking for public records. And he describes a situation where he's asked for public records from the MID, and they've kept stonewalling him. I don't know. The law says that they have 20 days to reply, but I think the law also says you can have extensions.
Yeah.
So here you go. You got here's a suspected Brown Act public record request. In December, the above outside law firm, see, now they don't have in-house attorneys. They hire law firms, and the city does that.
Oh, yeah.
County, not so much. But so this law firm said, well, we need the seasonal holiday delays, okay? Then in January, Emerson says, they extended again to the end of February. And yes, on Valentine's Day, they pushed it out again until March. That's now. One has to wonder if St. Patrick's Day will be blamed for yet another foot-dragging delay.
Another delay.
So
sure.
What experience have you had? Well, you're a private investigator. You must have experience with public records and the desire of agencies to not comply.
Yeah, well, we get, as a working for the defense, we're entitled to discovery, all the discovery in a case. And, of course, there's certain regulations regarding discovery and how it has to be and when it has to be provided. And but we generally do very well. However, we have had cases in which the DA, kind of consistent with the Carson case, doesn't provide the discovery at one time, and we have to go back and ask for additional things, which, of course, is a Brady violation because the defense is supposed to have all the prosecutorial discovery in advance of the trial. But as we know, it got dragged out for years in the Carson trial, and that's the main reason why the three defendants that were being held on the murder charge, the Atwal brothers and Frank, were released on their own recognizance on December 22nd that year because the judge was upset because of the fact that the DA was dragging in more discovery almost a year into the prelim.
You know, on that date is the first time I've seen a judge actually cry. I mean, sort of tears came to her eyes when Marlissa walked into that courtroom and laid out 80 discs of evidence that they found.
Yeah.
And most of it was exculpatory.
Right, yeah.
And so...
She left the bench. She had to leave the bench for 7 or 8 minutes to compose herself.
Right, right. And that's when she came back, and Percy Martinez, the defense attorney for Frank Carson, was about to make this whatever motion he was, but he was worried about the fact, you know, we can't get through all this material. We, you know, and that's when the judge says, Mr. Martinez, I've already taken care of that. Here are defendants who are in jail with no bond. That's how dangerous they were. Yeah, no bond. And the next day, they were free on their own recognizance. And the judge did that. She says, I'm releasing them on their own recognizance. So they don't have to spend more time in jail because of Marlissa's failure to bring about exculpatory evidence that the defense needed.
They needed. Now, the only downside to that is, in one of my commentaries, I also wrote that, as we know, the Judge Zuniga, had been a prosecutor in the Contra Costa County District Attorney's Office for years. So she was a prosecutor, and that day, that December 22nd, when she let the defendants go on their own recognizance, she also, at that time, when Marlissa Ferreira began to object and do her rants and raves, at that point, Judge Zuniga said, ma'am, I have saved your case for you. And when she said that in my commentary, I said at that point she became an employee of the Stanislaus County District Attorney's Office by saving her case instead of dismissing it as she should have.
Well, that one phrase, okay, makes it impossible to ever, ever convict Carson and Atwell. Outside of the fact they are innocent, that's been proven. But now you have a judge that tells the district attorney, I saved your case. The case should have been over right then and there.
That's right.
Okay?
Yep.
And it's interesting that that judge always talks about, well, I want to protect the case from appeal. I
want to protect the record, yeah.
Yeah, the record. There's so much. The record is 5 miles long of appealable issues that can be filed.
Right. The only thing that needs a record is... a few of the prosecutors and some of the investigators.
You know, I want to help Garth Stapley out. I've got a thumbs down for him.
Okay.
I
want to hear it.
He's going to get mad at me, I know. But nah, he's all right. One of the thumbs down is not only the police who have committed misconduct, but it's the city council that have committed misconduct by allowing one of their policemen, John Evers, okay?
Yes.
They put him on loan to the sheriff task force.
Right.
And he makes $175,000 a year.
Yeah.
And who pays it? MPD.
MPD, certainly. Yeah.
And if that's misconduct on the part of the Modesto City Council, but maybe they don't know what's going on. If they do that, they don't want to know.
No.
You know?
If they read the B, maybe they'd know. Of course, I'm just being facetious because it's never in the B.
Yeah, the B coverage has been, I think, the price of the first trial, very scarce.
Right.
Yeah. Are we almost done, Dave?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Winding down.
We're
it's been a pleasure to be back again, guys.
Oh, good. Nice having you here. And now we're playing our There's Nobody Here But Us Chicken.
Well,
yeah.
Chicken, home to roost.
George, I'm sure the farmer doesn't believe me. There's plenty of chickens around. We'll be back Monday at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
Kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to